God for all these men sitting here. Don't get to be in service, all of us together, very often. But boy, I'm thankful when we do. God's been good, hadn't He? I mean, we look around and we see all the wonderful blessings that God has given us. But the greatest gift that God ever gave was when God sent His Son Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we're so thankful. Are you all right this morning, son? You got something on your heart. You good? Boys, y'all good this morning? I know that's not the kosher way to do it, but I don't know any other way to do it. I love you. I mean that. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn there. A couple of verses I want to read from, but you can place your finger in that second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But I do want to read a verse out of the book of Hebrews, because I really believe it's the message for the hour. It's what God has laid upon our heart. In the sixth verse of the 11th chapter, I'm going to read one verse and then we'll get to the message that God has given us. But this is what the writer said: "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Then, coming from the first verse of the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew: "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east. We are come to worship Him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search." Here's that word. We see it over and over again. "Diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring word again that I may also come also and worship him." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding and great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country." Another way, Brother Austin, been said about the wise men. And you know, I always cut up with Carol that he's not a wise man, he's really a wise guy. But, you know, a lot been said about these wise men. And we look at this story, and so often it's like, in our minds, maybe they just appear out of nowhere. But there's a lot that goes into this story. It goes way back into the Old Testament. Whenever the people of God were carried away into Babylon and into Persia, and there they had a lot of their scribes and a lot of the people that knew the Word of God, a lot of wise men that studied the Word of God. And while they were in Babylon, they began to teach. And those that were Babylonians, they would listen and they would hear the words that would be taught. And here they were. They would come back in the days of Ezra. They would rebuild the temple of God in the days of Nehemiah. They would come back and rebuild the walls and the gates around Jerusalem. But they were those that had stayed in the land of Persia. And here, many, many years later, many scholars believe it to be 500 or 600 years later, there are these men that have had the Word of God passed down from them to generation to generation. They are looking for a sign from God that the Savior would be born. And I want to say this: there's no greater knowledge that we can lay down and leave to every generation behind us, and to know that there's going to come a day when they need a Savior. I want to say this: that if evil can last for three generations and curse Three generations, surely the wisdom and the knowledge of God can bless for three or four generations. And they had heard the Word of God. They had studied the Word of God. They were wise men. There are a lot of people, they look at the word magi and they think that they were magicians. And they were not just magicians as we would think of it today. They were men who were versed in the Word of God. They were waiting on a specific event to occur. They'd been waiting on it over 400 years. That meant that the grandfather had to tell the daddy there's going to come a day when there's going to be a star, and that star, the light of God, is going to draw in even a Gentile nation. And then the son would tell the son would be told by the daddy, and generation after generation, they would pass down the hope of the Messiah that would come. And I want to say this. I look around and I see some grandfathers and I see some daddies and mamas who's leaving something for the next generation. And what greater message could we leave the next generation than to let them know there's going to come a day when they're going to need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. So they were looking for a sign in the heavens. That night when in Bethlehem, whenever the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night, there were some magi that were looking in the heavens over hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They would study the heavens knowing that there was going to be an event that would take place and a star that would arise, and it would be like anything or unlike anything they had ever seen. And it would announce that the King had been born, and they would go and search for Him. And you know what? That night, whenever the shepherds were on the hillside of Bethlehem, and that angel began to speak to them, and suddenly there was a appearance of a heavenly host, and they began to sing. The heavens rolled back, and I believe it was a cosmic event like we've never seen. And as those shepherds were looking up, those wise men for the east, they were looking out, and they saw the heavens roll back. They couldn't see it because it was afar off, but they knew it was a great light. And the same angel that appeared to the shepherds appeared to them as a great light. And there was something that transpired deep down in their soul. Something said, this is what we've been looking for. Let us go and search for this child. I want you to know, listen, hey, aren't you glad that there's some light, that there are people in our lives that have been lights? Let me say this. You can be a star to somebody that's looking for Jesus. What do you mean, preacher? I had a grandfather and a grandmother that loved the Lord. There were people in my life that I could feel God's love from. They were stars and they were lights in my life. I wanted to have what they had. I wanted to be saved like they were saved. They left an impression on my life. And thank God, they're stars that lead us to where Jesus is. Now listen, we ain't superstars. We're lights. It's not about what one man can do. It's about when all of us come together and we lift up the name of Jesus, how that draws people to the cross where they can be saved. So they had seen something, and something had transpired in their heart, and now they set off on their journey. I've come to ask you a question this morning. Is there anybody in the house of God that's looking for Jesus? See, we come to the age to where so many of our people that visit our churches, they're waiting on God to fall out of the sky and do something before they'll recognize Him. But the Bible said that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And those that seek Him shall find Him. And there's not been but generation ago, men and women knew to seek the Lord. The Bible teaches us to seek the Lord while He may be found. And I'll tell you this morning, if you'll purpose in your heart to seek after the Lord, He'll be found of you, and you'll be found of Him. So they set off on their journey. I love to put myself in their place and think about their travel. You know, we think and make out like, and I know in our Christmas play, you know, Mary and Joseph are there, and all of a sudden the wise men appear. That wasn't necessarily the way it happened. And I don't know, there's been a lot of talk whether they were three or more or less or whatever. I don't care about what the number of them was. What I do know is they were some men that purposed in their heart to find Jesus. And I want to tell you what a difference it makes when men and women purpose in their heart and purpose in their home. And if we'll purpose in our church to seek after Him, we will find Him and be found of Him. And when the Lord passes by, He'll make all the difference in the world. But we've got to start seeking Him. So many of us are caught up in the world. So many of us are caught up in despair. So many of us are caught up in the politics of our age. I'm going to tell you, He'll bless us if we'll seek Him. And He commands us to seek Him. You say, Brother Russell, how do we seek Him? That's when we turn loose of everything else and we purpose our heart toward Him. I want to tell you, the only thing they were thinking about was finding Jesus. The only thing that mattered to them was finding Jesus. Listen, I believe with all my heart there were obstacles in the way. But aren't you glad? Listen, hey, the obstacles that Satan places in the way, God is able to remove them. I think about so many of our children that have grown up in broken homes in different situations, and there are obstacles in their life to finding the Lord. But what they need is some stars, some lights, some people with the love of God that will express to them and show them that God is well able to save and to keep. And aren't you glad you're one of the kept this morning? And so I love their tenacity. I'll go home and look that up and find out what that means. I love their desire. They purposed in their heart. Nothing would get in their way. Listen, finding Jesus meant more to them than anything else. And I don't care if you've been serving the Lord for 40 years or if you're lost and undone and need the Lord, we still have to seek the Lord. I find myself in dark places. I find myself in difficult times. And those times always remind me how much I need the Lord. And as I get older, my mental facilities are not working and faculties are not working like they used to. I used to think I was a smart guy, and I'm beginning to realize that whatever I had is starting to leave. But I'm glad that what we have is greater than the mind. Our mind's image with God. God can still work through us and in us through His Spirit. And somebody said, you've got to get educated and know everything about the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, first of all, that's not possible. But second of all, God's not looking for somebody who's worthy. God's looking for somebody who's willing. And if we'll willingly go and preach the gospel, God will bless our efforts. I want to say this to the church. I'll just go ahead and charge us. This year coming up, we are going into 2023. My text will be wrong if I write any for a whole year. I charge us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to seek after Jesus. To seek Him. Listen, hey, we've got homes and we've got people that are moving in all around us. Somebody said, oh, they're going to press us out. And, you know, we're bringing in all these different type of people. I'm going to tell you, you look at that as an opportunity to make a difference in our community. And God is building around our community. My prayer for us is that we'll be the center, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be the center of the community. We'll be the light that's shining upon a hill. And if we'll serve Him, that's exactly the way it'll be. Diligent. They made up their mind. Listen, they purposed in their heart. I want to ask you this. Have you ever purposed in your heart to seek after the Lord, but what you didn't find Him? Have you ever purposed in your heart to have you ever had a time in your life where you said, God, I need an answer? Let me say this. God's timetable is not like ours. You ever said, God, I really need You to do something in my life? Or prayed about a situation, and it seems like you're praying over and over and over again, and nothing changes. But let me say this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I look out there at my wife holding my granddaughter, and I think about the prayers that were prayed. And I look at you holding Graham, and I think about the prayers that were prayed, and you holding Harley, and the prayers that were prayed, and Trey, and the prayers that were prayed, and Brindley and Bryson, and the prayers that were prayed, and the Turner girls, and the prayers that were prayed, and Abby, and the prayers that were prayed. And I look out, going to the Lamb of God, I see God has answered. You said, Brother Russell, you sure get excited. Oh, if you could feel what's moving down in my soul, you'd be excited too. Hey, if you would open your eyes and realize what God has done for you, just like He's done for me, hey, you'd have tears in your eyes too. I'm going to tell you, Lydia, you sung it, honey. God has been good. Now let me try to regain some composure. Those wise men, they came in to Jerusalem, and old King Herod. See, the enemy's always got a plan, don't he? Herod at that time was killing all the babies. And the whole purpose of the tax, now think about this for just a second. Caesar Augustus levied a tax, and they all had to go back to where they were from. And so they left the place where Jesus would have been slain. I mean, where every baby was being killed, God's infinite wisdom and protection, and sent them to Bethlehem. That's the hand of God. You say, wow, God did that for Jesus. Yes, He did. You know what? I've seen some times in my life where God's done that for me. There have been places I could have been and situations I could have been in. And somehow, some way, God brought me through. I'm going to tell you, listen, our Father is able to do all things. And He don't just see a mile down the road. He sees years and years and years of time down the road. You know why? Because He walks through time like it ain't nothing. Time cannot constrain Him. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's not constrained by time or by the thoughts of man or by what man can do. He's God in the flesh, and He's able to do all things. If He could save somebody like me, He could save anybody. And that's all things. So here they are. The king says, tell me where He's at that I may worship Him. They go on their way. Boy, knocked my glasses off a minute ago, didn't I? They went on their way, and the Bible said they followed this star. And, you know, I believe the star led them to Israel, led them to Jerusalem. And I believe whenever they got in there and they were talking to the, I believe the star, they're still inquiring, they're still searching. I believe there may have been a period of time they couldn't see the star, but when they got done conversing with King Herod and walked back out, there's that light in the sky. There's that star. You know what? Whenever I got lost and undone, this light went out. When I got lost and undone, the star disappeared. I went as far as I could go. Listen, the law took me as far as it could. I found myself in darkness, lost and undone. But a man stood up and he preached the gospel, and I saw the light again, and it led me to an altar where Jesus was. And so they follow that star. Now time has passed, and I'm going to be real careful here. I don't want to tear down anybody's imagination or thought process of what that first Christmas really was. But I know this, when they came into the house, Jesus was a young child. That's all I'll say about that. You can do with that what you will. But when they came in, what was the first thing they done? They fell down and they worshiped Him. Thank God we're in church on Christmas morning. Is there anybody feels in your heart like I do? I just want to fall down and worship Him. Listen, He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. Thank God He's the everlasting Father. I just want to worship Him. You say, why are you so adamant about work? Because He done so many good things in my life. They worshiped Him. I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God will do. It'll always lead you to worship Jesus. Now, listen, I want you to hear this. You be really careful whenever worship leads you to leads you to reverence something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Every song of praise, every song of worship is not about look at us and what we can do. It's about look at Him and look what He's done. Every song of reverence and praise and worship is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And so, here they find themselves in the house. They fall down and they worship Him. Listen, they had treasures with them. Amen. I want you to notice this next verse of Scripture. And this is very important to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. When they had opened their treasures. You know what the problem with a lot of us in the house of God is? God has given us gifts. God has given us treasures to be used. And we keep them in the box. Listen, what good is a gift unless you take the bowl and the paper off of it, open up the box and put it into use. And God is telling Silver City Church, take it out of the package and use it for His glory. It's been on my heart for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just going to say it out loud and it'll have the effect it's supposed to. If I get in trouble, I'll get in trouble. I want to say this. We've got some young people that are coming on and God has so richly blessed you. And you're talented and you sing with the Spirit of God. It's a gift. It's a treasure. I'm going to tell you, church, we've got to find a way to help them open their gifts and use their gifts. It's not to be kept in the box. It's to be pulled out so everybody can enjoy it. Use the gifts that God has given you. And church, listen, I'm sorry, you visitors, I'm not. Give me just a minute to speak to my brothers and sisters of the body of Silver City. We've got to find a way to help them use their gifts. You know why? Because if you don't use them, you forget about them. Anybody get that toy at Christmas you wanted so bad, and after you use it for a while, you put it up in the toy box or in the corner, and you forgot about it, and you forgot about it, and it no longer give you the joy it had. But I'm going to tell you, the gifts and the callings of God are not that way. Every time you give, every time you stand, and you preach the gospel, and there may be times that we fall on our face, but there's a desire to get up, knowing what God can do. Use the gifts that God has given us. They opened them. How long has it been since you opened your heart to Jesus? You know what happens? We get in a cold, cruel world. And listen, we get caught up in time and all that's going on around us. We're like Saul was. We're hidden among the stuff. I'm telling you what God is saying to Silver City. What God is saying to this pastor. And God, I receive your word. Now God, give me grace to move by your word. Blessed are not the hearers of the word. Blessed are the doers. It's got to be more than just hearing it and amen in it. Somehow it's got to find its lodging place in my soul. And I've got to allow it to move me. To use what God has given us. So, I don't know how many they were, but they open up the first gift and it's gold. We talked about this, didn't we, sister? Gold, a gift for a king. You know what that guy was saying, or whoever opened that gift and laid that gold before Jesus? In worship, he was saying, you are the rightful king. How long has it been since you've opened your heart and poured out and said, Lord, you are the rightful king of my life. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I worship you not just as a Savior. We'll get into that in just a minute. But I worship you as my Lord. There's never been another king like him. He has all power and all authority. And you know what gold does? When it's tried in the fire, it shines all the more. And you know what? Whenever we get in our trial, we ought to just praise Him all the more. I'm going to break those glasses before it's over with. The second gift they gave Him was a gift of frankincense. A beautiful, sweet-smelling savor. That was a costly ointment. I mean, it's a costly perfume. Do you know what? Jesus Christ, He came and lived as a man without sin. He was a sweet-smelling savor toward the Lord. Now listen, I want you to hear this. Whenever we worship Him and we lift up Jesus, it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. And then lastly, they brought Him
The myrrh. The myrrh was what was used. It was a bitter herb. Remember Jesus? He drank from the bitter cup. It spoke of His death. It spoke of His sacrifice. He was going to be the great sacrifice of propitiation for our sin. And thank God this morning when God sees me, He don't see my sin. He sees my faith in His Son. He sees the blood of Christ. Thank God for the myrrh. Thank God He died on Calvary. But that's not the end of the story. On the third day, God raised Him. On the third day, He arose. He went into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible said, He ever lives to make intercession for me and you. Jesus loves us. This morning. You know what? Boy, it's a lot that went on, ain't it? You know what it caused them to do? They came in one way. What's the scriptures say they did when they left? They left another way. To God. Now, would you hear this? Every time we come to the house of God, we come in one way. Is there anybody besides your preacher that sometimes you come in a way and your mind and heart are not in the right place? You ever come in the house of God bitter? I mean, let's just, we people here, ain't we? Do you know how wonderful it is to come in one way and begin to worship Him. Begin to open up and you pour out and I pour out and we pour all our gifts out to the Lord. And I can't tell you the times, and I want to thank you for this, that I've come in one way, but thank God I left a different way. Isn't that the hope? Isn't that why we come on this Christmas morning? You made a sacrifice, and you know what I say? It's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It ought to be our pleasure. It ought to be our joy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Sunday we met, we came in one way and left another way, closer to God, with glory on our brow, being a light unto those that are lost and undone. God, help me when I come in one way. Let the gospel change me. I can't keep going the way I'm going and be the same old man I've been. How many of you have come for the last several months in a certain way and left the same way you came? I'm going to tell you, when we worship Him, and that's the key, when we open the gift that God, in one place, I think it was the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said that we had a treasure in this earthly vessel, that the power may be of God and not of us. If we'll open our hearts and we'll worship, God will bless us. Stand to your feet this morning. Oh, is there anybody who will diligently seek after Jesus? Now, here's what I'm guilty of. I say, oh, Lord, I want to seek after you. I want to be as close to you as I've ever been. And then I go right back into my old ways. Anybody have trouble with that? If you don't, then I'm going to tell you, you've got something I don't have. I suspect all of us are that way. The whole point of coming to the house of God and hearing the gospel is that God changes us. I'll close. We were talking. And what you said was so profound. I've seen men, and men especially, women too, but they have bitterness in their heart, and they never change. And as they get older, they get more bitter, more abrasive, more angry. Nobody wants to be around them. They usually are very lonely. Some ladies can be that way too. I don't have to be that way. I tell you what, you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again to God. Let me die just a sweet old man that loved people and that loved the Lord. I don't want to be known as some great evangelist, some great preacher. I know I'll never meet those qualifications. God, just let them say about me, He loved me. He loved the church. He loved the Lord. And I think it'd be a life well lived. Do you need to search for Jesus this morning? Oh, I tell you, he'll be found of those that diligently seek him. Get us a song, Steve, if you will. I want to say this. There's some people that are here this morning, some of our young'uns that have gone off to college and come back. Hey, sweetheart. And I'm so glad to see you. I want you to know what a joy it is to see you this morning. Sam, I want you to know, son, I love you. Sally, guys, to have you here this morning means the world. It really does. I love you. Sam, you, Lord, son, you ain't changed none. I mean, you're still looking young. And Sally, you're still just as beautiful as ever. I say that about, so good to see y'all, Melanie. My goodness, what a gift it's been to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you need to pray, come ahead as they sing. God bless you.